Hey, you guys. Welcome back. This is Richard Sachs on Lost Arts Radio. Nice to be with you again. And obviously, what we've been focused on lately, since this show is related to what's going on in current events locally and in the world, is the general orchestrated insanity that surrounds everybody right now. It's not by chance. We've got two really major attacks on the U.S. in the form of a orchestrated pandemic, a fake pandemic with an engineered virus that is real and it's a weapon, but it's not particularly dangerous in its current form and unknown mutations of various kinds. But it's being used as the justification for a major crackdown on supposedly unalienable rights and freedoms that really can't be suspended no matter what kind of an emergency there is. But we've got that still going on. And even though more and more people are finding out that the pandemic is not this life and death emergency, even with that tightening down, we've got another attack in the form of orchestrated, very well-funded riots happening in cities that are spreading around the country and also other parts of the world, Europe, the UK, and I'm sure anywhere where there are remaining thoughts of freedom, the riots will spread to. And people have been asking the question since we had Sheriff Mack on last time, what are our options for what to do about that? You know, describing it as one thing, like the other things going on in the world, but what matters, the only reason to understand it is to know what to do in response. So fortunately, we have our friend Richard Mack, Sheriff Mack, with us this show for a very short period here. It's going to go by in a flash, so we'll make the best use of it. And welcome, Sheriff Mack. This will be a fun discussion, and let's see what we can come up with.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, and let me make sure I'm okay here. Yeah, I guess I'm home.
Yeah, all we right. Hear your sound, and your video looks good. So.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me again. This is starting to be a matter of routine that you and I meet in such a manner. But if the pandemic of corruption would just end,
yeah,
we wouldn't need to do this anymore.
It would be nice if it was curable as easy as the fake pandemic with the virus, which responds to vitamin C and hydrogen peroxide and things that are cheap and safe. And we need a similar cure for the pandemic of corruption, right?
What do you do with the hydrogen peroxide? Do you drink a little or do you just
gargle? No. Actually, this comes from there are many doctors who have been risking their life and brave enough to talk about what actually gets rid of the few cases of acute respiratory distress that are not pneumonia, which this virus is not. It's a dry inability to take up oxygen in the lungs, like you were put on the top of Mount Everest with no oxygen tank. And so when you put a ventilator, which puts air under pressure into the lungs, that's the recipe to kill the patient. And that's the main reason that it turned out they were actually doing that, because then you've got more COVID-19 deaths officially, even if they aren't. The person did die and they were called that. And there's more money and more panic and it feeds the whole situation. But doctors, you know, hydroxychloroquine with zinc, without zinc, wasn't getting any good results. But with zinc, 100% or close to that. Quickly and cheaply and safely, but better than hydroxychloroquine, which does have some side effects even on a very short period like that, is vitamin C. And one of the doctors that was brave enough to come out and say how to get rid of quickly anyone that did get this syndrome was Dr. Brownstein, who's famous for working with iodine and other things like vitamin D3 for people that are deficient.
Vitamin C.
Yeah, well,
food, whole food, plant-derived vitamin C.
Yeah.
Dr. Group's product.
Yeah.
And I'll take iodine, his product there.
Right.
And zinc.
Yes.
And, vitamin C. Oh, and vitamin B12. But I take those every day.
And they usually recommend D3 as well, because most people don't have enough sunlight. But what Dr. Brownstein was specifically doing with people that came in with the problem is the ones that were really mild, which most of them are, he just did what you just said. But the ones that had a little bit more problem, he put a nebulizer, which is a little thing that goes over your mouth and nose, like a mask, except it's got a tube to it that feeds in gas. And that was a gaseous form of hydrogen peroxide, which is a disinfectant basically, and it kills viruses. And so breathing in a low concentration of that got rid of the problem for those people. And then the ones that were few and far between but were very severe, in danger of dying, he gave those IV vitamin C intravenous in the vein. And with those, they were all totally fine within 24 to 48 hours with no problem at all. And those people get censored very violently. But he was brave enough to say that, so that's why I mentioned those things.
Okay.
It's not difficult. But the political effects are difficult.
Yeah. Like,
you know, and even though recently WHO, better known as the World Homicide Organization, has come out and said that you can't, oh, sorry about the thing with the surfaces, you know, you actually can't get it from surfaces. That was a misunderstanding, so don't worry about that. And you also can't get it from people with no symptoms, asymptomatic carriers. They're not contagious.
Oh, okay.
This just knocks apart the whole reason that was used to justify the masks and the distancing and all that stuff. That's gone. But even though it's gone, they figure, well, most people haven't heard about that, so we'll just make it tighter. And that's what they're doing.
Sounds like to me we need or have probable cause for a criminal investigation.
Yeah. What is frustrating about those criminal investigations is they tend to go on for very long periods of time and then they're never heard of again.
You know,
particularly at the federal level.
Correct.
You know, it makes you wonder what the Attorney General has been doing for 3.5 years.
Well, yeah. In fact, recently, this is sort of still on the topic, but a different case.
Yeah.
Was it Prince Andrew that they've been trying to investigate? And he's the story was he's hiding behind his lawyers regarding his sexual assault of a 15-year-old?
Yeah, and connection to Epstein as well in general.
Yeah, exactly. And yet it appears that Trump, there's a Freudian.
Yeah.
It appears that Clinton, Bill Clinton, former president, had at least 26 or 27 different flights with Epstein to different sex locations, sex party locations. And yet there's nothing, no one ever talks about a possible investigation or how they're not investigating Clinton, but they're going after Prince Andrew.
It is strange.
I question all of that.
And nothing big ever seems to happen. The first term of Trump is almost over. And during the debates, he famously told his opponent, you're lucky that I'm not president because you'd be in jail.
Right.
And then he
softened on that after he got in. And I think the American people want to see the same justice system for celebrities and politicians as they do the rest of us. And I think therein lies the injustice going on in America. And the BLM people and the Antifa people and the protesters, whether violent or not, I think they've got it. They're missing the boat. And I know that there's subterfuge behind what they're doing and ulterior motives. And a lot of them are paid looters and rioters, and
right.
And the arson and the murders and the aggravated assaults that are going on with these people, those all need to be investigated. But at the same time, look at the injustice that we've had in this country for, 75, 80, 100 years from the IRS. The IRS and liberty cannot coexist.
Yeah.
And yet we've had presidential candidates say they're going to abolish them, rein them in, and I don't think you could drain the swamp unless you're draining the IRS.
Yeah, that's a big piece.
That organization has put so many hundreds of thousands of people in prison innocently, and this is really a nightmare for the American people to continue to have to work and with the constant threat of the IRS hanging over their heads. And I think it's just an absolute outrage and a shame that we continue to allow this to occur in America.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of too bad that so many people are willing to do anything for money. And that's not just the bosses. And I understand, you know, the employees need to feed their families, but a major issue.
There are some people.
Well, that's the point. I mean, there are millions of people who not only hate their jobs, but find themselves having to do things that they know are completely unethical, or else they get fired. Right. And we need to give them a practical solution to not just quit and go on welfare, but there's got to be another piece.
Well, we've got whistleblower laws there. The CSPOA will come to your aid and help you. We'll help you with get lawyers, whatever. Anybody wants to blow the whistle on any of these illegal activities, give us a call. Just go to CSPOA.org. Our number's on there. Give us a call, and we will definitely get you some help.
Okay, yeah, and most people don't know that about CSPOA, that it has services for the general population, that you don't have to be police or sheriff or anybody like that. So do you want to say a little bit about it?
We wish everybody understood that the CSPOA is for every citizen, and that every citizen in this country should join that organization. CSPOA.org, become a member. Every member makes us stronger. Every member helps us finance the people who really need the help.
Okay, for people that are not familiar with it, beginners, what's CSPOA? Explain that.
Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. But the key there is they work for you. The sheriff is so unique because he answers only to the people. He is the servant of the people when it comes to law enforcement. And the people choose him as their law enforcement representative in their county. There's no other law enforcement or executive that fits the bill like the sheriff does. It's a very unique position. It's a very honorable position. It goes back over 1,000 years in old Anglo-Saxon law, all the way back to the days of Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah.
And that's an example of what happens when you have a bad sheriff. But we the people are in charge of this government, and we the people are in charge of the sheriff. He has no other supervisor. That's why it's so important that you're involved in this process. And so that's why we're trying to do these shows like we're doing right now, to make sure the people of America know that this organization is a partnership between you and the peace officers in your community, and specifically and especially the sheriff and you have a relationship to protect liberty. And I could give you an example right now. There's a lot of talk about vaccinations coming out.
Yeah.
There's also talk about those becoming forced and mandatory.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, if you don't want to take that vaccination, you better be getting a hold of your sheriff now, so that when they do come out, that they're ready to stand for you and against forced vaccinations. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, that takes us right back to the eugenics of the Nazi regime.
They're already doing it to children for school, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, of course, we've been doing that for decades.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're taking away exemptions all over the country. So no matter what you believe in, no matter what your religion is, no matter if you know about the ingredients, or it doesn't matter. You just, if you don't do it, your kid doesn't go to school, then you're guilty of truancy, and then CPS can come and steal your children.
You know, I'll tell you, how about it? It has nothing to do with my religion. How about it's just me saying no?
Right.
I don't want to do that. I don't believe in vaccinations. I'm not taking it. Right. And I have a right to be left alone. So leave me alone.
Right. There's actually a doctrine of informed consent that was part of the Nuremberg Codes and the Geneva Convention. And it says they can't do anything to you without your consent, which they have been trying to trick people into, but your informed consent, which means not just an information sheet that says it's great, the real potential dangers and damage. And then you have to say, yeah, sign me up. I want to do it anyway. Yeah. And actually, for full informed consent with vaccines, they'd have to say, well, and it actually doesn't prevent any diseases, but it's really great. It might, but if again, it doesn't kill you, it's going to be great.
I don't care what the abuse is. I don't care forced vaccinations. I don't care if it's the ruthlessness and abuses of the IRS, as we were just talking about.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's DUI checkpoints So far, I'm mentioning everything that's illegal and unconstitutional.
Right.
I don't care if it's officers stopping you without probable cause, on traffic stops, whatever it is, whatever the abuse could possibly be. If it's cops or sheriffs arresting ministers for having church and not locking down when they're supposed to and not obeying the dictator's orders from some governor in Michigan or San Francisco or New York City. It doesn't matter what the abuse is. Your sheriff has an obligation to stand against it and stop it and protect you.
What about the order that everybody has to wear a mask?
You know, that one's a little bit different, and I'll tell you why. In a private business, the business owners can require that if they want to. Some of those, which is the part of the problem, some of those are being ordered to do that by the state, or they can't open.
Right.
And so, so there's a little bit of iffy part there. But there's some businesses that don't require it, and so I don't know where those dissect and slice together, because it just doesn't seem to be any consistency with it at all, especially when you take into consideration all the protesters that are out there commingling so much. I think a lot of them are wearing masks simply because they don't want to be identified. But there's some that aren't wearing any at all, and the closeness of their social distancing is a complete violation. So, but like, I'm going on a plane back home from Austin to Phoenix, and I was wondering if I should wear a Lone Ranger mask when I try to
get home. That is a mask.
It
should satisfy the requirement.
So, we'll see if any of them laugh when I do it.
It really depends on their attitude. I mean, otherwise a mesh mask that you could easily breathe through would be safe enough. But,
I also have something I've got to tell you what happened. I don't know if you saw this. Are you aware that the 77-year-old barber won at the Michigan State Supreme Court in a unanimous decision?
No, tell us about that.
Carl Mankey. He really went after the governor's lockdown orders. He refused. He had some militia people come and stand there and defend him. Anyway, they took away his license, and he kept staying open, and they cited him in, and they tried to shut him down. And finally, they got an emergency hearing before the Michigan State Supreme Court. And let me tell you what the Michigan State Supreme Court said. It's really amazing stuff. Let's see if I can move you out of the way. I can't. Good. Okay, listen to this. It is incumbent on the courts to ensure decisions are made according to the rule of law, not hysteria. One hopes that this great principle, essential to any free society, including ours, will not itself become yet another casualty of COVID-19, end quote.
Wow.
I'm telling you right now, there is amazing stuff happening in our country, and I love it when a court gets it correct. And not only did they get it correct, but they got it correct 7-0. That means both Democrats and Republicans alike on that court. And I don't know how many there are which, but I know there's Democrats and Republicans. Yeah. And they all agreed that these lockdown orders were based on hysteria and not the rule of law.
Would you
and I have been talking about the whole time?
Yeah. Would you read the relevant part of that one more time?
Yes.
That could become a precedent, right? That could be.
It is. And I've just done an article about it, and I'll make sure you get it in our newsletter.
Good.
It is incumbent on the courts to ensure decisions are made according to the rule of law, not hysteria. One hopes that this great principle, essential to any free society, including ours, will not itself become yet another casualty of COVID-19.
Yeah, boy, that sounds wonderful.
Man, I love that.
All levels of government have decided that they can just make any orders they want. You know, the laws are irrelevant.
Yeah.
As long as they say it's an emergency, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. And the scary thing about this, and you and I have said this before, but it bears repeating. The scary thing of it is, this really lays the groundwork and paves the way for government to say what an emergency is anytime they damn well please about anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so this whole thing was, I think, the greatest dumbing down of America. Mm-hmm. will make you scared to death, will make you slaves and force you to stay in your homes, and you're doing it willingly. We made right. you all go along, and we made you make yourself a slave to us out of the fear that we're pandering, and now we know we can get you anytime we want.
Yeah, you can almost see them laughing about our response. And with the mask thing, I know that private business brings up another issue, but I just have the feeling that they're saying, do you think we could get them to obstruct their own oxygen flow and their own breathing voluntarily if we scare them enough? And they yeah. say, wow, they did it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, and I even asked some people, I went by my school, what was it, a couple of days ago, and a couple of students were there, and they asked me why I wasn't wearing a mask. And they were there for, I think, a band project or something anyway.
Yeah.
And they're two really great students. And they said, where's your mask? And I said, oh, well, I found something out. And one of them was really good in science, and she got it right away. I said, I found out that you're not supposed to keep breathing in what you breathe out. And she goes, oh yeah, the carbon dioxide that humans emit isn't supposed to be continuously taking, or you're poisoning yourself. And I said, that's what you're doing right now with your mask on.
Common sense is way more advanced than so-called science.
Yeah, and she's just a junior in high school. What does she know? And she got it because her science class has already taught that we need oxygen and we exhale a certain percentage in every breath. It is carbon dioxide, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but there's other waste products, too, that go out that way.
Oh, yeah.
Taking them back in.
Right. And to continuously take them back in is very detrimental to the human body.
Yeah, I'm sure it hurts your immune system and everything else. If that was your object, then that would be a good way to do it.
And I also said I heard a rumor that fresh air was really good for the...
Yeah, they're working on new proof that that's poison and nobody should have fresh air. They've already said that sunlight is deadly and there's no safe amount to get exposed to, which is exactly the opposite of the truth. So that's why everybody is, you know, talking about D3, because especially in the extreme latitudes, almost nobody gets enough sun. So well, I want to ask you, too.
I live in Arizona, as you do, and I tell you what, I think I get a good amount, but I try to get to Hawaii at least once a year so I can make sure I get it.
Okay, yeah, I'm doing the same thing, not in Hawaii, but in Arizona. Just if I have reading to do or anything like that, I try and go out in the sun to do that with minimal clothes on, and your skin is designed to pick it up and turn it into immunity. And in fact, that's a huge interesting subject in itself, because some of the things that were being injected into people, discovered by one of the first doctors in the latest wave of assassinations, was that they were putting in an enzyme that was designed to intercept the effect of D3 on the immune system.
Yeah.
As an ingredient on purpose, and it's pretty interesting stuff. But I was going to ask you, since our time's going to go by in a flash here, you were saying that we need to talk to our sheriffs to generally protect us and educate them so they'll want to protect us right. against any kind of authority or gangs or private criminals or whatever. And what about the police? I mean, can we talk to them too? And what can they actually do in their capacity as not sheriffs but police officers?
Well, you can, but it's generally best to go to the top, their supervisors, which is the chief of police or the sheriff, and then hopefully get the sheriffs to provide this training for all of them. And that's what we do at the CSPOA. We actually provide that training. And it's amazing training. I'd like to share it with you and Doug and everybody on your staff and your end.
Absolutely, yeah.
I really want to do this for Dr. Group and Dr. Batar. And on with them. I want to spend an hour and just kind of give a very strong review to all of them. And maybe you could get on that with us.
Let us know when it is, and we should do that.
Yeah, because it's so powerful. And I even quote Thomas Paine from The American Crisis. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'd like to look up the whole thing and read it, but it's pretty lengthy, and it's on my presentation. But he says, what does it signify to me? He says it that way. In other words, what does it matter to me if he that destroys my property, steals my property, takes my life? What does it matter to me if it's my countrymen or a group of countrymen or government or group of government? Either way, my property is gone and I have no recourse. It's a very powerful statement as to what's going on today. What signify it to me if it be a highwayman or the king's man?
Well, look at civil asset forfeiture.
Well, of course. And that's another. When I was talking about the abuses of law enforcement nationwide, that's another one. Mm-hmm. You know, I have written and lobbied and tried my best to get these cops to understand that that's actually criminal.
Yeah, they're just becoming thieves.
There's one thing about abusing things, but it is criminal to have a conflict of interest in the effectuation of the law. Yeah. When you're enforcing the law and you get to reap benefits financially for your department as you do that, that is a conflict of interest and that is against the law.
Right.
And yet that is what they're doing, and I can't believe that they're not seeing this. And so anyway, I know that there are some agencies who won't do that, but most of the law enforcement agencies think that's really cool to take money from people before conviction.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness. But
and the bad people won't make as much of a problem in defending themselves because they won't have any money left, you know?
Well, you know, and there was one time that I actually investigated I was part of a nationwide detectives that actually went after some Colombian theft rings. These people were just stealing things. And they would literally go out. I don't know if you ever saw this on the news. They would go into a JCPenney's or Sears or Macy's and wipe out an entire section of the store with all the Levi's and all the expensive clothing that they could carry out.
Wow.
And what they were doing is they were using women with loose clothing and then stuffing them and making them leave real fat. And we ended up, they totally walked away from the whole thing. They had $150,000 worth of Levi's in a hotel room. Uh-huh. They left a very nice car that they were using, and they bailed one of their best female employees, one of the best thieves they had. They bailed her out at the tune, and this is back in like 1984, and they bailed out one of the women with a $10,000 cash bond, and they took off, and we never saw any of them again. They left the car behind, they left all their stolen goods behind, and they left the $10,000 bail. And these operations, those types of people, they don't care. But when it's us, it's a little bit different when you go after a common, ordinary person. And a friend of mine owns a gun show, and they did it to him. They stopped him on a traffic ticket, on a traffic offense, I should say.
Yeah.
And he said, if you're going to write me a ticket, fine, write me a ticket. And they go, what do you have in your pockets? And they started to check him. They go, hey, you have no business checking me. They go, yeah, I can check you for weapons. And they found all this cash on him. They go, why do you have all this cash? And he says, I run a gun show.
Yeah.
And that we take cash back home. You know, and they took $200,000 cash from him, and he never got it back, even though they knew where he got it, and he proved he got it, which he didn't have to do. But this is the type of nonsense, folks. And you see, law enforcement, like the New York union, the police union in New York. They said, we need to be treated with respect. Well, respect happens, and believe me, I'm not on the side of any of these protesters that are using George Floyd's death as a means to destroy America and as a means to loot or commit any act of violence. Yeah. I absolutely abhor that. I also abhor what happened to George Floyd. Sure. 100% without question. But the rest of law enforcement, if you're going to be demanding to be respected, then you need to act respectful.
Right.
And you need to enforce laws that we all respect. And to just be out there, I don't respect at all anybody who sits out there giving out all these traffic tickets, raising money for the county or the state. Those 90% of the traffic tickets are unconstitutional. They're just revenue generation. And they do not change anything when it comes to diminishing traffic accidents or fatalities. And so this whole thing is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
First, the protesters need to act respectful or act respectfully. Right. And the police in this country must find a way to earn the public's trust.
Yeah.
And when people have talked about training, oh, heavens. I've been talking about that for 20 years. Everybody in law enforcement, sheriffs, chiefs, patrol officers, you name it, we all start our jobs with a huge amount of hypocrisy because we all swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution as mm-hmm. required by the 6th article of the Constitution. It's required by law. Nobody knows why they take the oath. All they know is they have to. Nobody ever trains in the Constitution. Nobody knows and understands that our job is to protect God-given rights, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Nobody gets that. Nobody understands that we are a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. If you don't understand those basics, how do you think that the peace officers who are supposed to be out there protecting us and protecting our rights and protecting our streets and keeping the peace, how are they going to understand their role in all of that when they've never been trained one iota in one part of that?
So you talked about going to the top of the system, which was the sheriff, and you also mentioned the police chief, both of whom could change the training, I think, or have an influence on
it. Yes, and the state, so, there's state officials in charge of that that could do it also.
Okay, so you could contact them. What can the police chief do? Are they totally constrained and limited in their choices because they're an employee of the city? Or how does that work?
Well, we hope to send out letters and emails to all the cities across the country, mm-hmm. and let them know what our philosophy is on that, and say there's absolutely no way that we can keep officers ignorant of the American idealism and of the oath of office that they take, and that they don't understand the oath. I think we could get. He answers to the city council. And hopefully we have enough good common sense within our city councils that they would understand. Yes, let's do fundamental training for our police so they understand the oath of office.
Yeah.
So they understand the principles of patriotism. So they understand what the founding fathers were trying to do and the intent of our founders when they devised the Constitution in the first place.
I think you just mentioned a really key element too, because if the city council is the boss of the police chief, which they are, and the city councils I've encountered are not extremely aware of any of this stuff.
They need maybe to come to training also.
Maybe you need to train the city councils and the county supervisors and the state officials and people like that. Right.
We do. And we've had them at our training before. But, oh my goodness, I'm ready to go do this every week at a different location.
Yeah.
We need to make this happen. We can get other trainers as well, but man, we need to make this happen bigger, better, and faster, and I'm ready to do it. And if it's not just me or if somebody else, God bless them, but let's get after this. And I think the presentation that I've put together in a very powerful PowerPoint, I believe that it is perfected to a T with the principles that I've already discussed. We bring Martin Luther King on disobeying unjust laws, and Rosa Parks' story, and Thomas Jefferson's warnings, and Madison's warnings, and then that part where I just told you about Thomas Paine, and what a terrific guy. And we bring up also the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions by Madison and Jefferson. And we show a cop, a deputy sheriff in Albany, New York, who interposed and intervened to keep the authority, the airport authority, from kicking out people because they were merely handing out flyers about the dangers of the body scan using the TSA. And the officer actually said, we want you to know that this is your constitutional right. And he was expressing the view of the sheriff's office in Albany. And it's obvious that he called to a supervisor. And he was told, well, tell him that you're going to keep the peace and tell him that they're not breaking any law. And he said that.
Yeah.
And that this is your constitutional right. Do you understand that that's all we're after? And I'm not saying you, Richard. I'm saying the people listening.
Right, right. I understand.
What we are after is we want every sheriff and deputy and patrol officer and detective and chief of police. We want them to understand what Deputy Stan Lenick did. And we show a video of that.
Right.
Saying this is all we're after.
Well, and you brought up something important about about law as well. Because
exactly.
The rule of law is obviously important. However, every genocidal tyrant in history has made sure that everything they do is legal. So, right? And so the laws have to be in harmony with wisdom. And that's why the founders were saying it's a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah.
You know, but there has to be what they called an educated population, which actually equates to wisdom, I think.
Jefferson said, you can't be free and ignorant.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't mean education like the educational system today.
No.
I mean real education, right?
Yeah.
And if you're ready to go and educate everybody yourself, one of the many projects you could be doing, I think, is to have a class for people that could be clones of you, you know, and go teach while you're teaching in one city, they could be in 10 others.
Right, and we need to get some other retired sheriffs to do just that, and we've been working on that.
Okay.
We actually have been working on that.
So, again, how do people join? And my question, obviously you need as much funding as possible to do all this stuff and to have people training all over the country at once. And, yeah, it's nice to get a huge donor, but while you're waiting for that, if you got millions of small members, I mean, even if they don't have the full official membership fee, maybe they could donate something.
Everybody can donate whatever you can. In fact, I just got a tear in my eye when a man donated a dollar, and I go, is somebody trying to be funny here? I thought maybe somebody from the left who hated the Constitution. And then I looked it up on PayPal, and he said, I live on a very limited income, and I wanted to help as much as I could. Please accept this dollar.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that just, I mean, it almost brought a tear to my eye. And I just wish everybody would do the same. Just
you can get one out of 100 people, you'd have 3 million members in this country.
Yeah.
That would get you started.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, I've been waiting for that big donor for 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for the American people who have donated and become members. It's $50 for a membership.
Right.
It's like, what, less than $4 a month? You know, whatever it is, I'm not a good mathematician, but I can.
Yeah, it's about $4.
This is it. Everybody can afford something, just like the good brother who just donated a dollar.
Right.
Donate what you can. Donate what you can every month. And let's get this CSPOA name where it's so common that everybody knows about it. Everybody has an opportunity to have their training. And you have the opportunity to reap the benefit of that training because you have a constitutional guard as your sheriff and as your peace officers in your neighborhood.
So everybody should go become friends with their sheriff, right? And maybe the chief of police as well. And maybe that, like we said, the supervisors and the council members.
Right.
You know, so they don't feel so totally isolated that they just do it what they do doesn't matter, something like that.
Yeah, and your sheriff doesn't report to anybody else, but it would be good to have the county commissioners on board. And lo and behold, even the county attorney, I wish we had county's attorney in this country that knew and understood the Constitution. They are usually on the side of mainstream law enforcement, just do whatever the legislature says.
Well, they just look for a precedent that'll justify what they want to do.
Coincide with the Constitution, with principles of freedom.
Right. And even though there are precedents, which seem to be their main focus now, that can justify almost anything if you find a precedent somewhere, if it's in conflict with the basic unalienable rights of the people, it should be null and void, right? Even if it is a precedent.
And every sheriff and peace officer in this country should know to make sure that it's null and void. Because anything that violates a principle of liberty, it should not be enforced. And anybody trying to act like there's some sort of nobility in enforcing all laws because the legislature may pass them, so I have to enforce them.
Yeah.
Even if they're stupid or violative of principles of liberty, there is no time that traffic laws or criminal codes of a state supersedes the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
If we study, we'll find out that that is the case. And there are supreme laws in this country, and no state law can violate that law which I was born with, my God-given rights. And so we talked about that earlier. Just because it's a law doesn't mean I'm supposed to enforce it.
Yeah, I mean, you're not supposed to feel incapable of seeing whether something's unconstitutional. I know they want you to think that, well, until the Supreme Court tells you, you don't know. But that's not true.
Well, do you know how long it takes to get to the Supreme Court and have a decision come out before this from the Supreme Court?
Well, even, and they may say they won't even look at it.
Yeah, most won't look at it. You know, so, you know, and who has the money to go to the Supreme Court? I went there once, and thank goodness the NRA paid for the case, or it wouldn't have gotten anywhere because I didn't exactly have $400,000 lying around.
Right.
And so, yeah, the NRA paid for the case, and I'll always be grateful to them for that.
Right. And not only making laws in conflict with the Constitution and our rights, but these executive orders that are now happening at every level of government down to the local level, they're saying that, well, the death rate from the pandemic justifies it. But it seems to me that unless you're in a communist country, that it could be 100% death rate and the people could make their own decisions anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It's not what percent it is.
Well, yeah, if you're going to surrender liberty for supposed health or safety, then, like I said at the beginning, they're going to be doing this to us every other month.
That's the plan, I'm pretty sure.
And we're only going to be subject to the capricious whims of our politicians. And I don't, please, I've tried to ask this. Who of those politicians do you trust to take care of your health? Adam Schiff,
exactly.
Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell?
All of them, apparently.
Who trusts any of those people? For God's sakes.
You know, as far as trusting them, I mean, they announced the pandemic years before it happened. And just amazingly, it happened on schedule. Now they're announcing the second wave. And they're saying, watch. And it's just going to be terrible. And in fact, the media is already running stories now that where they're starting to partially get back to normal life and business, which is not enough to make the economy survive, by the way. Yeah. In those places, they're already announcing terrible spikes in disease. And they just make up the numbers.
Yeah.
But even if the numbers were true, they couldn't do anything.
It doesn't matter. You know, statistical analysis does not equate to constitutionality. That's what I keep saying all throughout this. And that was what Judge Roll said in my Supreme Court decision at the district court level. Statistical analysis does not make something constitutional. Okay? Discovering the benefits of a law does not make it constitutional.
Yeah, exactly. So One of the things I wanted to ask before we're done here, which because we've got just a few minutes, is once people join CSPOA, what happens? I mean, what do they get access to, and what do they start studying, and what's their role at that point?
The first thing they should study is my Supreme Court decision.
Okay.
Many of them are also getting the book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, that I wrote about 10 years ago.
Yeah, that was great.
But the Supreme Court decision, it's called The Victory for State Sovereignty. And you can get five of those for $10. They're just real small. They fit into your shirt pocket. They're okay. It's 15 pages of the highlights of my decision.
Can you get it on the site?
Yeah, CSPOA.org. Again, okay. It's called The Victory for State Sovereignty. It's white, has all the flags on it of the states. And everybody needs to get that first. And you can get that very easily. And we will send you your membership and your welcome letter in the mail. My wife puts all those out. But yeah, we're trying to make sure that all of you have access to the Supreme Court decision that I won, because that's really where all of this was born out of.
Okay, one important point that comes out of that. State sovereignty is great to potentially protect against federal corruption. But what happens, as we see rampant now, with terribly corrupt and criminal states? Yeah, they might be sovereign, but what if they're criminal?
Same thing there. The sheriff answers to no governor. He doesn't answer to the mayor. He doesn't answer to the county attorney or to the county commissioners. He answers to the people. That's why that's so powerful. We'd really like to get the chiefs of police and every peace officer to understand they work for the people. The people pay their salaries, not the county commissioners, not this town manager. The people pay your salary. You promise the people to uphold and defend and obey the United States Constitution. If you keep that oath, the people win their freedom tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly right. And for people that want to join and support or donate to CSPOA and or any of those, do they go to CSPOA.org, and is there some kind of a button or something on there that's obvious?
It's obvious. It says become a member. And then if you want to do any shopping for my books or whatever. But again, you can make any amount of donations, $100,000, $10, all welcome, all very much needed. And if everybody would do their part on this, man, we could really do a lot more.
Yeah.
So if you want a constitutional sheriff in your county, look at how much you have donated and look how much you've gotten involved. We need you.
There's a lot of people worried about being said, well, the new vaccine is totally voluntary, but you can't come out of your house without it. And I mean, they're probably going to do something like that. They like to twist language. That gives you complete freedom of choice, right, in your sovereignty and everything. So if the sheriff is educated and brave enough to live up to their oath, according to your training, that really couldn't happen, right?
That is correct.
They couldn't make businesses close and everything.
Yeah, it's a simple process. And we've already had numerous sheriffs. In fact, there's a distant cousin of mine that's sheriff out here in Arizona. And he went by businesses, was seeing if they were complying with some of the orders to reopen. And he told them, I'm just here checking things out. I'm not going to cite anybody in. I'm not going to shut anybody down. And we're certainly not going to arrest anybody.
Right.
We're here to make suggestions how you should be safe. But he said, that's all up to you. And we're going to get back to the Constitution.
See, that's great. Because if you look at one of the biggest businesses and employers in the country for the average people, it's restaurants. And if restaurants are told that they can open at 25% capacity, most of those restaurants are destroyed.
They'll go out of business.
And that's all based on this fraudulent idea of distancing. And if you can't get it from asymptomatic people, and if it's not even dangerous if you do get it, if you get the vitamins you need, then, and even if, you know, it's your choice anyway, if it is really dangerous and you want to take the risk, I think that's your freedom, right?
It's up to me. Yeah.
So, okay, everybody needs to join CSPOA. And at CSPOA.org right away. And because I don't think we have indefinite time to work on this.
No, time is of the essence because, like you say, that second wave is already on its way.
Yeah.
And And I will tell you, the hashtag that needs to go out there, the motto, the mantra, never again, meaning never again will we shut down, shut ourselves, lock ourselves up in our homes, shut our businesses down, destroy our economy, and destroy the American dream.
Yeah. Never again. And for the people that think the economy is just some stock market numbers, that's not exactly right. No. It's whether you get to survive or not. And before it kills the first world countries like the U.S., it kills third world people, and especially kids. And it's been estimated that just from the current lockdowns that are supposedly for health, they're talking about 100 million extra starvations this year. Yeah. So there's no justification at all.
No, there is not. None. And they have no authority to do it either way.
Right. One more quick question, and we have about 1 minute. People were asking, in particular in California, some of our listeners, where they're a bit frustrated by the interesting government attitude that they've got over there, that they're just going to be shut down indefinitely because they have to stay safe, and they're all heroes for, you know, stopping their life. And they're wondering, what about this old concept of citizens' arrest? Could it ever be done in a way that would work on officials or governors or mayors or people like that? Is that just a fantasy, or what's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty much a fantasy. It you would think that we could do it because the people bestow all power. If I have power as a sheriff to arrest, it's because you gave it to me.
Right.
You have it. But we'd have to work on that. Hopefully you can get your sheriff to do any investigation that's necessary, and you can be a witness for him and help him with that.
Right.
Join his posse, work with him, but you definitely need to have a working relationship with your sheriff and a few other public officials there in your area.
Let's see, the question is the only sheriff who can deal with, say, a criminal governor, the sheriff of the same county that the governor is in?
Yeah, that's pretty much the case, unless you can prove that he committed a crime in your county.
In the county, right.
Has no recourse.
Okay.
And that could be done if he illegally takes a license away from somebody. But the sheriff can issue an order for that person to stay open, and he can supersede the governor. And,
at least they can stop some of the criminal enforcement issues.
Yeah, and they already have.
Yeah. Yeah, neat. Well, you mentioned in the beginning.
Other thing for Californians?
Yeah, go ahead.
Need to move. Move.
Moving is a really good option.
It is.
I don't know if 40 million people can move very easily, but.
Well, the rest of those dead, brain dead people, they're going to stay there. But the good people.
You mean the ones that are somewhat aware could try to move. Yeah.
Go to Idaho, go to Nevada, go to Utah.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see movement of populations like that, depending on how this goes. So you mentioned in the beginning that we are doing this kind of regularly. I think we should probably continue that because we've just scratched the surface. And this is a class for everybody listening. And we should keep doing installments, I think, if you're up to it.
Sure.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Sheriff Mack. I appreciate it. We'll check back in shortly. Stay in touch. Okay, you guys, you can hopefully understand why. That's a good friend of ours, Sheriff Richard Mack. It's just, he's setting an example, which is the best thing that any of us could possibly do, that, look, this is how a sheriff understands things and acts, and he did it in real life as a sheriff in Arizona, and that means every other sheriff could do it, and every other peace officer of any kind, which unfortunately now are known as law enforcement officers, but as we mentioned, the laws to enforce are the laws that are in harmony with all the constitutional, clauses in there and the things that are protected in our rights and freedoms. And in the Declaration and the Constitution and the founding documents of America, it says your rights and freedoms are not limited to the ones listed. They're, you know, everything else is included too, as long as it doesn't trespass on the rights of somebody else. And so it was a real simple basis for running a country. It's never been fully lived up to, obviously. Big flaws in it, big gaps in the understanding and application. But it could be done now. So I think if we want to have an impact on other people, our main job try to be an example of it. And then with that foundation, go and meet the sheriff and the police and the officials of the city and county and the bosses of the police, which is the city council members and the county commissioners. And well, actually, the county commissioners are in the sheriff's jurisdiction, but the city council members are bosses of the police, and getting them educated would be great. I recommend reading Richard Mack's books, Sheriff Mack's books, and joining. And even if you can only join with $1 or donate $1, you know, if one person out of 100 in America did that, that would be great. And for people in other countries, you have law enforcement people that are supposed to be serving the people, and finding out what the situation in each country is would make a difference. There are some that are so brutal that, you know, it's not strategically wise to try to have a normal discussion with them. But anywhere where they're kind of based on the at least distant memory of some kind of freedom and serving the people, reestablishing that rapport might be really a good thing to do. And at least with the other people that could be allies in this whole thing, to bring it back into harmony before these paid rioters tear it all apart. And, you know, the people that go along with that think they're bringing in utopia. It's just the opposite. They're just not too aware at this point. They need some education too, and we're supposed to be the examples to help that happen. So we've got work to do on ourselves. In the meantime, if you want to see us stay on the air, please support us. If you have discretionary income or capital to do that, it would be greatly appreciated. We're not even running commercials or anything. So kind of depending on any of you that think it's worthwhile what we're doing, and you can donate at lostartsradio.com. There's a donate button. And also lostartsresearchinstitute.org. That's our nonprofit that's in charge of all this stuff. There's a donate button there, and we have a subscribe star page that Doug set up, subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. We also have a non-censoring video platform on brighteon.com. It's brighteon, brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. It can be subscribed to. That's all free. And anybody that wants to go deeper into this with us and be part of our private group, which won't get censored, can join Planetary Healing Club, and that's at planetaryhealingclub.com. If you have any question about that or trouble getting in or anything like that, just email me anytime, richard@lostartsradio.com, and we'll help you with it or answer questions and let you know if it's worth your time, that sort of thing. That's for any information about the real information on health, the kind that we're not supposed to know about. No medical stuff. We don't do any of that there, but it's still legal and somewhat acceptable to share the old real health information that can help you get more free of aging and degenerative disease and raise immunity to the maximum by natural means, stuff like that. Any kind of questions and consciousness tools to help actually achieve that, in addition to the physical protocols. Very valuable site, as long as we can keep it going. So you're welcome there. Personally invited, planetaryhealingclub.com. Saturday, when we're having this live show, tomorrow we have our Sunday show. That's an educational guest show, and I recommend staying in touch with that. Just to make sure I'm right. Yeah, I am. Tomorrow we have an incredible show with Joel Skousen. You may have heard of him. He's the author of Strategic Relocation and The Secure Home. And we've done a long series with him. There will be, for now, the concluding episode will be tomorrow. So you might want to be there with us for that. And I think that's about it. And we're over time a little bit. But hope you enjoyed the visit with Sheriff Richard Mack. And if you have anything that you'd like addressed in the future with him, we may be able to do that if you want to email it in to me. And again, please support us, because that's the only way that we'll stay up on the air. And we've got projects waiting for funding, just like Sheriff Mack does. And they're on hold because of needing more funds. If you want to help with that, then we've mentioned how you can do that. You can also mail funds in if you want to. There's an address on lostartsradio.com near the donate button if you prefer to do that. Then 100% of it, you know, instead of the small fee going to the platforms in the middle of it, go to us and the work and the nonprofit. So, okay, it'd be nice to keep talking to you, but we're out of time. I hope you have a great rest of the weekend or whenever you're hearing this, and have a great week and take care of yourself. Educate yourself, get your health back as much as you can, learn about the natural health procedures and all the tools that you need to get yourself in good shape, more independent of all the systems involved, and that'll make you more effective at everything that you do. So you're critical in this whole campaign to get the world back to normal before it self-destructs, and I think you're the key person in that. So take care of yourself, and we'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.